strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 21st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Moon Landing Orwell. He's doing well. He's all ready to go on the moon. Also with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I'm doing well. I'm really glad I didn't spend the time making myself an aluminum foil helmet, because I did consider it, but I'm glad that I didn't.
Yes. So Cliff hopefully continues to not disappoint. And so I will continue to support him with Orwell. And they did a moon landing last night to celebrate the anniversary. Cliff had a big space helmet on, and Orwell had a space helmet on as well. So Orwell is going to, he's got a space helmet here. And it also works, I think, as a theme for the day, because the entirety of the Big Brother community is currently resting all of their hopes on a conspiracy theory that we'll get to.
Yeah, and I also think just in general, we could have our tinfoil hats on for most of the season as long as Christie's in the house.
Yeah, it's fair. All right, so we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. It was day 32 in the house, and it was a doozy here. There was a little bit of drama prior to the veto draw, because as we know, the veto, very, very important here overall, is that we need to prevent one of the six shooters from winning the veto, because then Christie can use her power and put Bella on the block. And then the six shooters have the numbers to send Bella home, because Kat is with them. And then they will have the ability to steamroll the rest of the season, because the numbers will look very, very lopsided, especially with an endurance competition coming up. It's not looking good. So we have to prevent them from getting the veto here.
Yes, it's crucially important, but there are a few key obstacles in the way, such as Jack's power and Christie's power.
Yes, very, very difficult things to navigate, just like navigating the moon.
I don't think he's jumping like slowly enough. You know, it seems like there's too much gravity, you know? Yeah, there we go. There's Moon Orwell. So, for anybody who's not watching, go back and watch, because Moon Landing Orwell's really having the time of his life.
You know, not all owls get to go on the moon. It was one small step for owls, but it was one large, big, giant leap for owl kind.
I wonder how this Orwell got so lucky.
Yeah, well, you know, somebody chose him. So, as I mentioned, there's a little bit of drama prior to the veto draw here. Tommy has a conversation with Nick. Now, this is in reference to what we talked about yesterday, where Tommy still wants to try and draw Nick in and kind of reunite the original eight, because that's a really great spot for him. And, you know, a lot of people were like, hey, what an idiot Tommy is. But he has this conversation with Nick, and it actually kind of works. He tells Nick that he still really trusts him. He still really wants to work with him and bring him back into the fold. The only problem is that a lot of people don't trust Bella, but you know what? You know, Tommy is on his side and all of these things. And Nick is like, oh, Tommy, I love you. Yes, this is amazing.
Yeah, because as you said yesterday, Nick and Bella want to be with the cool kids. And so Nick sees this as an opportunity. Like, I can be back with you guys. It could work.
Yeah. So Nick is kind of he's being drawn back in by Tommy. And this is what I was worried about, because I wanted Tommy and Christy on the block. You know, I felt like that was probably the better play, because they are the more dangerous people in terms of being able to bring those outsiders back into the fold. And Nick has been, he's being drawn in, and now he is back on the train of, all right, well, if I've got Tommy on board, then let's take out Nicole next week. We got to get rid of Nicole.
I'm so sick of hearing Nicole's name come out of these people's mouths. But it's like, the fact that Christy and Tommy are absolutely the right nominations here because they're so good at drawing people in, that's why they're safe, because they've done such a good job with everybody, right? Like, they're so well insulated.
Yeah, very much so. So that's danger number one here. But lots of things are going to be changing. There was more drama with Bella and, you know, people getting mad at each other and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But none of it's going to matter, I think, in the long run, because basics here. Everyone hates Bella.
I wonder why. I can't imagine why people would hate her. Seems like a dream to live with.
A dream. you know, and she's actually really intelligent, and under normal circumstances, she would be killing everyone in arguments. It's just that in the Big Brother house, it's more difficult.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely the case. Yeah, no, if people want Bella drama, just go re-listen to last week's updates.
So we get to the veto draw, and they pick players for the veto. They pick Jess, Sam, and Holly. And then Jack says, nope! We're doing this again. They have to redraw. He uses his power. And they redraw to get Kat, Sam, and Sis.
I mean, as you guys went over yesterday, with the percentages and the numbers of people, this is probably about as good as it was ever going to get.
Yeah.
For them.
It worked out. It worked out in his favor, for sure. That definitely was a good thing there for him. So, you know, it worked. Works in combination with Christy's power, as long as Christy actually uses it.
Well, thankfully, this power is now gone. So 2 out of 3 powers are out of the house.
Out of the house. All right. So veto players are drawn. We then get a very interesting conversation with Cliff, Bella, and Nick in the boat room. Now, this is very interesting because of its later implications, and a lot of people are holding on to hope based on this conversation. And so we'll explain it here. They are talking about what happens with the veto, that if one of those six wins the veto, then they will have the ability to have Christy use her power. And if Christy uses her power, then she will put up Bella, and or whoever has the veto will put up Bella, and they probably will not have the votes to keep her. Nick suggests, well, all right, but let's say, I mean, Christy really wants to keep the power for herself. That's what she's been saying. So, you know, what if, I mean, get Cliff, you should gas her up. Promise her that you'll put up Jess or Nicole or whatever, and then maybe she won't use it. And Cliff says, yeah, I mean, I can do that. I can promise that I can ask them to promise me that they won't put me up if I do what they want, and then turn around and put up Holly or Tommy. Like, I could do that.
And I mean, let's be real here. I'm hoping for it too. I have my hopes up.
So we're hoping that Cliff is capable of making such a play, and we'll explain why as we get to what happens later in the day. We get to the veto competition, and when the feeds come back, Jackson has won power of veto.
You know, he just needed to do this for the team. You know, he can't die on his knees.
Yeah, he's living on his feet. He's got all kinds of other... He said last night something like, if the cat's milk is something or other, then it's... I don't know.
I just like 96% of what he says is just total nonsense, like random platitudes that he's just like strung together to be his entire vocabulary. And like, it's been this way since the preseason. It's just like with him being on slop plus winning them. Like, there's just a lot of emotional intensity going on right now with Jackson and John. Ugh. Mm-hmm. Just sucks.
Yes. And so when the feeds come back and Jackson has the veto, it's probably the worst case scenario for us, because, you know, you have to sort of walk through this here. As we mentioned before, if Jackson uses the veto, Christy uses her power, and they're all saying, here we go. We did it. Christy's going to use her power. We have the votes. Everything's going to be great. We're going to get rid of Bella. We're going to pull Nick back into the fold, and we're going to steamroll the season. And that's what it's looking like is going to happen. If Jack had won the veto, Christy probably wouldn't have used her power, mistakenly, in my opinion, but she probably wouldn't have used it. And they could have sent Jackson home and everything would have been fine. But because Jackson won it and Jack is the one in trouble on the block, Christy has a lot more incentive to use her power. And so, as we talked about, if she does, Bella goes on the block. And again, with an endurance competition coming up, the most likely winners of that, people like Kat, Holly, Sis, Tommy, maybe Nicole has a shot, but That's a tough one, and I'm not even sure what she would do with the HOH if she won it. Yeah. And so the numbers just look extremely lopsided if they lose Bella or somebody like Nick or Sam. It's, you know, because Jess jumps over to the six. So you got Jess and Kat as hangers on to the six. You've got Nicole as like trying to do whatever she can to stay safe at that point. And then you've got three other people. Cliff can't even compete. And then if they win the endurance competition, they win another one. And then they send another person home. And now it's 9-2 or 8-3, whatever you want to have it be. It just looks very, very bad for the rest of the house if this continues on. And it's at this point in time that I'm just like, twists, what have you done?
Yeah, it's basically at this point we have to hope that it works out this week, that one of the six goes home, or just like, okay, let the six get rid of everyone so then they can battle it out. Oh boy. How what a treat.
Yeah, basically. And it's frustrating because, you know, Camp Comeback finally just ended. Finally the game has opened up, but you got the whacktacular things happening and they're still in play, and so, you know, these powers are continuing to interfere with the game and keep the majority in power. And it's very important to note that these twists do not guarantee that the game gets ruined, but they just dramatically increase the odds of the majority alliance maintaining their power. There are still ways around it, hopefully, but they increase the odds. And powers like this increase the odds of the majority maintaining power, because they give powers, first of all, the majority alliance is more likely to win a power because more of them are competing for the power in the first place. And then even if the minority wins a power, they are much less likely to be able to make use of it, because it often requires a majority behind you to use the power effectively. We saw that with Ovi, where he wasn't even able to use it. And even if he had been able to use it, it wouldn't have really mattered much. It would have just protected him, and they still would have been able to take out the somebody else from the minority side of the house, and so on and so forth. Where, and in the same thing, like if a person who wasn't in the big majority alliance won the Diamond Power of Veto, they would not have been able to use it effectively. They could have maybe protected themselves, but even then, probably not. So odds are it goes to somebody in the majority, and even if it doesn't, it will only help the people in the majority for the most part. Anyway, that's why these twists are annoying, and that's why if this happens where Bella goes on the block and the majority stays in power, these twists are continuing to interfere, and they're just tag teaming out. Camp Comeback says, oh, I'm done. I have no more. Oh, whacktivity. Oh, and they tag team, and then whack's like, yes, I got you. I'm here to ruin the season.
I can only imagine what's next. And it's the thing, too, where it's like these powers aren't even like that great, but it's like the fear of them is more powerful than the actual power. And it just keeps people solidified. Mm-hmm. It's gross.
It's gross. All right. So We have a couple of reasons to hope that maybe there's two options here. Either there are players that are dumb enough to not use their powers effectively, and then the powers won't ruin the season. Or there are players good enough to outplay the powers effectively. And we might have both of those things.
And we need to do a prayer circle to make it happen.
Right.
And manifest. So
the first hope, the most obvious hope, the one that should be there in the first place, is Kat should be voting with Cliff. Kat has no reason to vote with the six shooters. She is the seventh in that alliance, and she should be voting with them. She, you know, there's no reason why Christy is going to explain it to her. Why should I trust you to vote with us when we're a tight six and you're the seventh? Essentially, she says that. And Kat, she says it in front of Kat twice. And the second time, the cameras literally cut straight to Kat's face with nothing on it and then cut away. Like, they were shading her in that moment, I promise you. So that's the first and primary hope. Well, if Kat votes with Cliff and their side, then they will still have the votes to evict. Jack and Bella will stay in the house and the numbers will start to even out here.
It's also just hard too, because it would be like two people on the block where it's like, can we send them both home?
But even just sending them both home is
I know, it's
keeping
so,
the
like,
numbers too lopsided.
The thing is it's like, ugh, you don't want the numbers to be so lopsided because we hate that side. But then it's like, ugh, but we don't like Bella and Nick either. So it's like, we can't win. Like, there's just varying degrees of winning here, and there are no winners.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the primary hope, is that Kat will be on board. But immediately when the feeds come back here, Holly is going to have a conversation with Kat, and Kat is just super pumped. I really wanted to win it, but I'm so happy Jackson won it. We're going to get Bella on the block. We're going to evict Bella. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I hate her so much. We're going to get rid of Bella.
And so Holly's like, maybe we shouldn't do Bella.
Yeah. Holly is like, well, I feel like Nick is actually more dangerous. I feel like maybe we should take out Nick. And Kat's like, I mean, okay, we can do Nick. That's fine. We can get rid of Nick. That's fine. I'm excited about that too.
And Holly's like, everybody already knows that Bella's a B, so they'll go after her. And Kat's like, yeah, a B and a half. What's a half? Okay.
So Christy is going to talk with Tommy, and this is going to lead us to our second hope, because Kat's definitely not with us.
Yeah, no. Kat, like, okay, cool. Disappointed in Kat. Awesome.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. People were trashing on Ovi. People were trashing on Cliff because, oh, they're spineless. They're just trying to appease the power. They're not willing to make any moves. Cliff proved everyone wrong. And in the meantime, Kat has been given a pass because she's funny. But Kat has been the worst offender of appeasing the power and just going along with what they want and not willing to make a move. And I would love to be wrong about this. I would love for her to be tricking everyone, and secretly she's willing to vote to evict Jack even if Bella's on the block or whatever it is. I really don't believe that to be the case, though. And she really has been the worst offender. And Kat is, in my opinion, the primary reason we're even in this spot to begin with. She has been the primary reason why the outsiders can't form any kind of coalition against the main alliance. She is the reason Kemi couldn't get the votes to stay the week that Kemi was on the block. And now she is once again the reason that they wouldn't have the votes to keep Bella if Bella went on the block. It's remarkable how much she gets away with in terms of the fan base when everyone's going after people like Ovi and Cliff, who were willing to make moves.
Well, you can't expect her to go against Holly because they have a deep and everlasting friendship, naturally.
Yes. And that's very unfortunate, because I do think that's a big part of it. And in that case, you need to blame casting.
I also think, though, even if that was not the case at all, I think that Kat would still be continuing to work this way, because I think she's probably lived a lot of her life being very popular and people want to be around her. She's beautiful. She's funny. Like, I'm sure she's fun to be around. And then for her to not be like in this like major group, that must be very, very hard for her.
Yeah. Well, she had a conversation. I don't remember who it was with. It might have been Nicole, where it might have been Nicole again, I guess I should say, where they were referring to Kat as one of them, one of the outsiders, one of the bottom feeders. And you could see the disdain in Kat's eyes as they referred to her as such. She was so mad about it. She really
was also don't call anyone that.
Well, they're calling
that's
themselves
just rude.
But I think that people who are used to being on the outside are used to sort of self-deprecating and being like, we're misfits, we're outsiders, we're outcasts, blah, blah, blah. But for somebody like Kat, that's an insult. And she wants to be in with the cool kids, just like Nick. And Nick is the same way. He doesn't want to be an outcast. He wants to be in with the cool kids. So that's what's happening there. Kat not with them, but we get to our second piece here. Our second, maybe we have some hope. Christy's going to talk to Tommy, and she explains that she really wants Bella to go. She doesn't want Jack to leave, but would any of them use their power to save her if they had it? Would they? Would they use up their power to save her? I don't think so.
Yeah, they would obviously not do this for her. Like, she is just a paragon of virtue, and she would protect them, but they would not do the same for her.
Yes. And so I have to sort of once again, like, reset. Christy should use her power 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. As far as I'm concerned, I think there is zero reason for her to not use the power. If she is thinking logically at all, she has to use her power here. It's only good for 2 more weeks, and it's very unlikely that she's going to be in another scenario where it actually can have an impact in the same way that it's having an impact now. Not only does she need a majority behind her for it to be effective, but if she doesn't use it, she probably won't have a majority for it to be effective, because she'll be pissing off half of her alliance, and so on and so forth. And it doesn't do anything to protect her if she's on the block. She still needs the veto to be used on her. And if the veto is used on her, it doesn't matter if she's using the diamond power veto or not. She's coming off the block. She is safe. She keeps talking about it like, well, I need to save it for me. If I'm on the block, I need to use it on myself. But if somebody has the veto and he's using it on you, you are safe regardless of the diamond power. It's just about who goes up next to you. It's about keeping and maintaining the majority that you have in the house. And so if you willingly give up your majority so that you can save it for yourself to keep your majority, then you've already lost the purpose of the power.
Yeah, I really don't think she has a strong understanding of what this power actually is, like, yes, at all, because she keeps being like, what? And I've given up my protection. This is not protection.
It doesn't do anything.
As well, like, it is super, super dependent on who has the veto on if she can use it or not. And this is a week where two of her alliance are up. One of her alliance won the veto, and so presumably will be putting up the best case for her to go home. This is like a prime opportunity for her to use it, but she just seems confused and extra paranoid, and I'm glad about it because I want her to not use it, but like, strategically, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, she's so caught up in her own like selfishness and greed and paranoia that she hasn't actually thought through the actual implications of what her power means and does. She just knows that it's a shiny thing that's for her, and she wants to keep it for her. She doesn't want to have to use it for anyone else. That's not fun.
And then the other thing too that she keeps bringing up is like, oh my god, but what if I use it and then Bella stays? We don't have the numbers, like, oh my god. And it's like, really, Christy?
Yes. Well, so
this is your concern about not having the numbers?
So Christy's going to talk with Kat and Jess and admits to having some hesitation about using her power. Kat says, because she says, like, well, I can use my power, but I want to keep it for myself. But I'm willing to use it to save Jack. And if I do that, then, but my worry is that if I do that, then we won't have the votes because, you know, Bella will go on the block. And then if Bella doesn't go home because Cliff will break the tie to evict Jack, then now I've blown my power and my closest ally goes home. And now I have no protection. I can't. I don't know if I can do that. It was one of the votes.
I don't know what to do.
Kat says, no, Christy, it's okay. You have my vote. You have my vote. I am the vote to evict Bella. And this is when Christy's just like, yeah, but I mean, if Cliff went to you and said, hey, they're a tight six, why would you ever vote with them? I mean, wouldn't you just... And Kat's just like, what? No.
She's like, no, like, I'm voting with you. And that's like, there's another situation later on when she's talking about the six in front of Kat. And she's like, yeah, we're the six. And Kat goes, seven. Ha, just kidding. I'm just kidding. What?
Oh, boy.
You're just kidding. Cool.
Yes. So, Kat says, all right, well, how about this? I know that if you don't use the power, Cliff will put Tommy up. It's like, Kat! Stop!
And also, like, that wouldn't happen.
Well.
Not really. Like, it doesn't seem like it anyways.
It's definitely one of Cliff's options here.
And it's a good option.
Yes. And so Kat tells Christy that Tommy would go up if she doesn't use the power. Christy says, you know what? That settles it.
I have to use it
to protect Tommy. We're flying to space. We're getting away from Kat so that we don't say anything mean. Woo! Land on the moon. Okay. Whew. All right.
That was exhausting.
Yeah. As Kat says, she won't work with Cliff anymore if he puts Tommy up. That's a dirty move, and she won't support a dirty move.
She does not respect dirty gameplay.
Yeah, that's just disgusting if he put Tommy on the block. How dare he? I'm willing to let Cliff know my feelings about it, too.
I must say, it is very fitting to have this on Rockstar's daughter's birthday, to have someone going off about how disgusting dirty gameplay is.
Yeah, so that's going
what on. It was.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back, so let's get back to the show. Cliff in the meantime is talking with Sam about the power and how they might be screwed here, and they're having another discussion that might be a little bit hopeful in terms of, you know, what we're hoping for at the end of the night, where they're not sure how the power works. Sam says he feels like Cliff that Nick told him that it has to be, you know, she has to lock in her decision by 11 a.m. in the morning, and then you know, that's before the veto ceremony. Bella was under the assumption that maybe it was the opposite. Maybe Bella knew that it was 11. I don't remember. But one of them was under the assumption that maybe she was able to use it once the nominee was already announced from Cliff. And so Cliff is like, well, yeah, that doesn't. I mean, I feel like the other one makes more sense, but we don't know for sure. Maybe we can get some clarification on that. If I have to name a nominee before she decides whether or not to use it, then we're in trouble. I can't nominate Tommy. I'll have to, you know, figure something out that she'll be okay with. But if she has to decide beforehand, then I can put Tommy up.
Which is like the absolute right thing that he should be doing.
Yeah. So they have that conversation. Kat is going to leave the conversation with Christy and sort of intercept Cliff in the HOH room, or in right outside of the HOH room. And she has a brief conversation with him where she just wants to make sure he knows that she will not support a move to put Tommy on the block. That she that's the one thing she will not support. And Cliff says, okay, good to know.
Yeah, I think cool. Because just as seriously as everyone takes Kat.
Yes. She also asked him what, like, he was planning on doing, and he did not fill her in. He did not tell her anything. He was like, I'm not sure yet. And so then she says that she is not willing to support a Tommy nomination. And so this is another important conversation in terms of hopefulness for the future, because one of the major things that could get in the way of what we want this week is Kat. And so I'm hoping that Cliff, in this conversation with Kat, took some signals here. First of all, he wasn't willing to tell her anything then, so I'm hoping that continues. And then second, she wasn't willing to support a Tommy nomination, which means hopefully he understands that he shouldn't be telling her anything about potentially nominating Tommy or somebody else.
Yes, and I think that Cliff is definitely smart enough to recognize that, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So Christy is going to talk with Nicole next, and Nicole is kind of freaking out because people are telling her that she might be the swing vote, and she doesn't like that. She doesn't want to be the swing vote because she feels very grateful for the people that saved her last week, but they're a tight six, and she's on the outside of that, and unlike Kat, she can recognize numbers and do math, and it just doesn't make sense for her to vote with them to keep them in the game when they're so tight. And I will say, unfortunately, while I appreciate her logic over Kat's logic, I don't appreciate her saying her logic to Christy, especially so soon when the situation hasn't even come up yet. This was not great from Nicole.
Yeah, it was very, very upfront. And Christy's kind of like, yeah, but like, I'm not going to end with couples. That's crazy. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe her. Guess what?
Christy,
I don't believe her.
Gives the same sort of, pitch she's given everyone that ever asks her. Oh, Tommy and I know we're on the bottom and we're not going to go with them. And I totally understand your predicament. And I'm in my own predicament right now. But with should I protect them? Should I stick with my own game? And, if I had my way, my alliance would be me, Tommy, you, Cliff, Jess, and Kat. Those are my people. That's who I would want to work with. And Nicole loves that. She says, I would really like that to be a thing. I hate being in the middle, and I just want to be firmly in an alliance that I'm not at the bottom of. I feel like Nicole has lost her nerve. I think that she got caught last week, and everything blew up, and it was a very, very trying time for her. And I think that she has just lost the nerve to just like be that player from this point. And she does, I think, genuinely just want to be firmly planted in a group where people can be around her and support her and talk to her and make her feel better. And it's unfortunate because she was doing well in her role. I think that whole situation has really done some damage to her game.
Yeah, she should absolutely be trying to stay in the middle as much as possible. She's good at it. She's been doing well there, but it does seem like the killer instinct doesn't seem to be there. And maybe it never was, but I don't know that we're going to get the chance to see it at this point.
Yes. So something to be worried about there with Nicole. Christy is going to talk to Jack and Tommy about Nicole and how she's wavering on the vote. And then she's later going that's later going to get passed on to Jackson and the rest of them. And they're going to be like, wow, well, screw Nicole then. She's not
like,
with
us. We have Kat anyways. It's fine.
Yes. So Nicole really just giving up her spot there in the six. And it might not even be necessary, but hopefully it won't matter too much. We'll see. So Christy goes and she talks with Jack and Tommy. She explains about Nicole. She says, even Nicole is wavering. And I just don't know that we'll have the votes, Jack. And I just... Jack, I love you and I want you to stay in this game, but I just don't want to use the power and then you go home anyway and I've lost my one person that I'm closest to. Look, everybody knows how close I am to you. I don't even bother to hide it. I definitely don't tell people that I hate you and that I want you gone and that I definitely can't work with you to the end. I don't even hide the fact that you're my closest person, Jack. I don't even hide it. I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to use power.
And Jack's like, I love you no matter what. I love you if you don't use the power. I love you if you do use the power. Like, I love you. Just do what's best for your game, which we all know is not what you're supposed to say to Christy. Yeah.
So she's still freaking out. She's still trying to explain to Jack that she doesn't know what to do. But Tommy is there. And I was tweeting out, like, I do feel like Christy maybe could not use it. She maybe is capable of making that mistake. But especially for Tommy, not only if he's thinking logically, but also if he's just thinking self-preservation, he is the one that might go up if she doesn't use it. So he has a lot of incentive to make sure that she uses it. And he is there to push that forward. And he reassures her, we have Kat. We know we have Kat. If we have Kat, we have the votes. Everything is going to be fine. And Jack agrees, even though he's saying, you know, do whatever you want. He's like, we do have Kat. Like, we can make this work. And Tommy is able to calm Christy down a bit and get her sort of back on track, thinking a little bit more logically. And it seems like she is mostly set at this point. Okay, I'll probably use it. I'm going to talk to Cliff. I'm going to see if I can get him on board. If he's on board, then I definitely am using it. And if he's not on board, then, you know, I'll think about it and I'll let him know and I'll let Nick know. That's code. When she says, I'm going to think about it overnight and I'm going to let them know ahead of time before I use it. That's her essentially saying, like, I'm still not 100% sure, but I'm going to use it. And so Tommy has her on board. She's going to use the power. She just needs to talk to Cliff first.
Yeah, and she really needs Cliff's approval to make this decision.
Well, it would help her. It would help her feel a lot better.
And you know what? We want her to feel better. Okay? Yeah, that's all we want.
So she goes and she talks to Cliff, and I'm streaming on Twitch at this point, and I'm just like, all right, here we go, Cliff and Christy, and this conversation takes like an hour and a half. It was so.
It was long.
Long because Christy needs to go up there and tell her whole life story before she gets to the point. She's like, well, did I ever tell you about the whole situation with Nick and Bella last week? Oh my God. Well, what happened was Red Flame, D-Day, so on and so forth, a half hour later. And so at the end of it, Nick didn't put me on the block. And that was great. Like, okay, so what are we thinking about here in terms of, and so now I'm with, you know, Jack, and I love Jack, but I don't know about things. And then a half hour later, she's done explaining that she's on the bottom of the couples and all of that stuff.
And she's like, do you want to hear something about Jackson?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something about Jackson? Jackson was the hanky vote.
Yes, so they get around to Jackson, and she says, they get around to the power finally, and she's talking about whether or not she wants to use it, and what she says is that, you know, if it was Jackson on the block, I'd feel so much better, I just wouldn't use it, I'd let Jackson go home, I don't care about Jackson, he's creepy, he's weird, he freaks me out, you know.
Yeah, he's a bad person, he pours mouthwash down the drain.
Yes, and he was the rogue vote. Cliff, and Cliff is like, what? Nicole took so much heat for that. He was not happy. And Cliff gives a little bit of information of his own. He says, well, you know, maybe I'm tanking my game here by admitting this, but Jackson had an alliance with me and Holly and Kat that was called the Southerners. And we were, you know, we were hanging out, we were in an alliance, and then he voted me out. And even when I came back into the game, he pulled me aside and was like, oh, that was all part of the plan. We were really hoping that you would come back. We knew you had the best shot. And so now we can still work together and all this stuff. And he's like,
it's such a ridiculous thing to say that you thought Cliff had the best bet of winning a competition. They had no guarantee that it was going to be a tactile hand puzzle.
Yeah. Exactly. And so he's like, and I mean, I didn't believe it, but he's like, he's really trying to work me. And now let me say this. I am like 90% sure that Christy already knew about the Southerners.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she did. And also, you never confirmed it for me, but I confirmed for myself that Wyoming is definitely not in the South.
Well, so because Jackson told them what he was doing with Cliff.
Yeah.
But I'm also like 90% sure that she forgot about the Southerners.
You know what? There's a lot going on in there. There's red flames. There's Brussels sprouts. There's mouthwash being poured down the drain. There's four pots of coffee in the fridge. Like, there's a lot going on in the house. Okay, Christy's allowed to forget.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure she forgot. And when she finds this information out, she's like, oh, no. And I think even more importantly than forgetting that it existed in the first place is the fact that he's still trying to hold on to it. That makes her wary. This whole situation is, I mean, this is the great part about putting up two people on different sides of the same alliance, that it is pinning her against that side. And she's, especially for somebody like Christy, she's feeling resentment toward Jackson just for winning the veto, just for being on the opposite side of Jack. Like, how dare he? He doesn't deserve to be here as much as Jack. And so this is all working well together. And I'm going to say, even if Cliff doesn't eventually do what we want him to do this week, he does some very good work here in helping inflame Christy's animosity toward Jackson. And she's later going to talk with Tommy about Jackson and wanting to kind of go after him soon. And again, even if the six shooters get their way this week, some cracks have been formed, some rifts have been widened, and Cliff did a good job with that. And so that's one piece of hope.
Yes.
But we do get to some better hope. And that's because Cliff starts to say, well, you know, what do you think? What would you like me to do? Because obviously you don't want to have to use your power. Like, do you want to have some input? If you could decide who went up on the block, like, who would you put up on the block? And Christy doesn't really bite on that. In my opinion on this conversation is, if I were Cliff and we were talking about Jackson and how terrible he was, I would have kept fanning that flame and then been like, let me propose a compromise. How do we take a shot at Jackson without you having to use your power, without you getting blood on your hands, and try to get her to say, maybe we can put Holly up, and maybe that's a good compromise. And if I put Holly up, we can send Holly home. And that's still a number from the six, and things would work out well. But
he doesn't broach it quite like that, though.
Yes.
He's kind of like, oh, yeah, I don't really know what I would do. Like, maybe Holly or Sis, like, trying to get her to bite that way. But he really needs to make her think it's her idea. Like, that's the only way to get Christy to do anything, is to make her think she came up with it. And so that's how the conversation kind of starts. And then it's just kind of back and forth of like, oh, I don't know, like, I'd probably use my power and then put Bella up. And then Cliff's like, I don't care if Bella goes. Like, if you use your power and Bella goes, like, that's fine. That's not going to bother me.
Yes. And so, you know, Christy continues to, it's, I think, becoming clear to me that this wasn't working, and that Christy kept saying, you know, well, I'm going to think about it overnight and I'm going to let you know ahead of time, which, again, that's pretty much code for this is over. I'm not reconsidering at this point. I'm going to think about it overnight and I'm going to let you know ahead of time, meaning I'm just going to work up the nerve to tell you that I'm about to screw your HOH over. And then I'm going to tell you ahead of time that I'm going to screw your HOH over. And Bella's going on the block. And so Cliff decides to, he says, well, you know what? Hey, it's your power. You shouldn't have to use your power for someone else. You should be able to keep your power. You know, I have no respect for Bella. I hate what she did to Nicole. I think that it's gross. I think that, you know, I don't want Bella in this house. Maybe I should have put her on the block in the first place. You know, I will put up Bella for you so that you don't have to use your power. I will put her up for you. And then, here's the thing. If we can work together, if we can build trust with this, and you don't put me on the block in the next couple of weeks, and I don't put you on the block for the next couple of weeks, and we can work something out. You know, I really want to work with you and Tommy. We can work on, you know, taking out Jackson, you know, in the future. We can really make something work here. I will put up Bella for you, and then you won't have to use the power.
And Christy's intrigued. She's like, oh, like, if you do this, like, yeah, Tommy and I would definitely, like, keep you safe for 2 weeks.
Yes. So what's interesting about this, and what I was hoping Cliff would do, and this is certainly the most extreme version of it, I've always sort of thought about in the Big Brother game, there are kind of two ways that you often persuade people. You appeal to their fear, or you appeal to their greed. And most people appeal to fear. That's the most common way of playing Big Brother. You get power, and then you use fear to control the people like Kat and Jess, who just want to be safe, and you you appeal to their fear, and you make them work with you because you hold power. But it's very difficult to persuade people who are in power by appealing to their fear, because they have power over you, and you don't have power over them. So the way to appeal to them is by appealing to their greed, and not many people are good at that. Some of the best people at that: Will Kirby, Dan Gheesling. It's part of what made them so great, because even if when they didn't hold power, they were able to appeal to the person's greed. We talked about it in the blockumentary for season two, that Dr. Will is like the devil. He sells you what you want. He builds you up, and he says, look at all of the things that you could have. These are the things that you deserve. You deserve them all. You should try to take all of them at once. We saw Dan do this with replacement nominee roulette, where he promises Ollie the world. Hey, you let me take the HOH. I take the heat. You control the nominations. And it's just, you can see, like, if this was a cartoon, the money signs pop up in their eyes and they get blinded by it. And they're like, I can have all of it. I can. Oh, it's just so tempting to want to have your cake and eat it too. And that's what Cliff is offering Christy in this moment. And she is completely blinded by it. Oh my God, you're telling me that I can keep my power and Bella goes on the block and all I have to do is keep you safe for a couple of weeks? Like, oh yeah, I'm on board. And Cliff is like, and you know, you have to put a lot of trust in me, because obviously I could turn around and do something shady, but you know, that's not me. That's not my character. I swear to you, I will stick to my word. You know, I'm a man of my word, and I will put Bella up on the block. And Christy's like, yes, I like this. Let's do this. I am so on board with you, Cliff.
Yeah. And Cliff's like, yeah, there's like a small list of things that I'm not willing to do. And like, go back on my word is one of those things. Like, he really is doing a very good job of appealing to it. And it's like, it is very interesting to see. I hope that this is what we think it's going to be.
Yes. So this is what I've been referring to all podcast long, is that there are two options here. One is that Cliff is telling the truth, and honestly, for Cliff's game, that's not a terrible thing. I'm still not entirely sure which way to go is actually the best way to go for Cliff's game, because as I mentioned, he was pretty successful in causing a rift between Christy and Jackson, and it is looking like they might start to war with each other soon. If he gets a couple of weeks reprieve from being targeted and builds trust with them in the meantime, and then they start going to war, then Cliff is back in a pretty good spot, and he doesn't have to burn any social capital. It's actually not bad. He did a good job there. And so that's option one. He sticks to his word. He continues to fan the flames of that rift, that war, and he continues to try to sneak his way down to the end. It's not a bad way to go.
No, it's a good move, but it's not the sexy move.
Exactly. Because then there's option two. And option two is that he pulls a Dan Gheesling, essentially. This is going to be a legendary move. If he's
iconic,
lying to Christy and convinces her not to use her power, and then stands up on that veto at that veto ceremony and says, all right, Tommy, you are my replacement nominee, or Christy, you are my replacement nominee.
That would be the better, to me, if he's going to do it, if he's going to be lying, he has to put Christy up. Because it just, I feel like Tommy's like a half measure. Like, I feel like if he puts Christy up, it's like, well, at least if there's the point that they could then get rid of her, then that eliminates the power and they don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
although the power gets less powerful after this week anyways if it's not used based on the numbers.
And like, and here the thing too is that he still sees Jack as the biggest threat. And so I do think that he might end up putting Tommy because he knows that will ensure Jack leaves. If he puts Christy up, he has to take her out to get rid of the power. Yeah. And that means Jack stays. He could also put Holly up to continue the war between the Jack side of things and the Jackson side of things. I think that might actually be one of the better options as well. But either way, he would be really blindsiding them. And it would be so, so beautiful. And there are upsides to this as well, that he maintains his shot at the six shooters. He manages to take one of them out, especially if he's able to continue the rift that's happening between them while still taking one of them out. They still will be infighting. That's why I do think Holly going up on the block is actually pretty good for them, because then they're going to be campaigning against each other. And these people are not super solid anymore, especially after the conversation Christy has with Cliff. And so if they're campaigning against each other, that's great for him. And so they take that shot. Cliff gets some support, I would hope, from people like Nick and Bella and Sam, who he just really stuck his went out on a limb for. And also, you know, Cliff has to burn all of his social capital. He will never be able to get away with offering his word to somebody and them believing him, which is very valuable in the game. And it's why he's in the position he's in to make this move in the first place. And it's really early to burn all your social capital like that. But you're somebody like Cliff. It might not actually be a bad thing for him to have a bit of notoriety. If people start to look at Cliff like he's hated, then maybe they're more willing to keep him around for a little while. He just hurt his leg in the veto competition. So he's limping around, which helps his image in terms of competitions. And so if they stop looking at him like, oh, he's the cute guy with the Orwell that nobody would ever take to the final two because that's idiotic, and he is the cutthroat mother effer that backstabbed everyone and everyone hates, maybe they're a little more willing to take him down to the end game. I mean, that's what happened with Dr. Will and Dan. That's how those games work. So there is some upside there as well, but it is extremely risky, of course.
Well, and the other thing too, though, is Cliff came into this game very, very well aware of his standing going in as the old guy in the house. And like, not to say Cliff's old, because he's really not that old. Like, he's not, but comparatively, he's the old guy. And he knows what a disadvantage that puts him at. And so I don't think Cliff wants to get to the end just to get to the end. Cliff wants to get to the end with a chance to actually win. And because of the disadvantage he goes into the game with, he needs to do more to get any level of respect for his game. So something along these lines is something that will establish him as someone who is actually playing. And maybe it's a swing that will ultimately take him out. But I think that he would feel better having taken the swing and not winning than getting to the end, getting to final two or three, but not actually having a shot. Like, he didn't leave his family for the whole summer to not have a shot at winning.
Yeah. And this is what I tweeted. Like, I'm not sure that it's the better move to lie. I think it's certainly not the safer move. I think that when you weigh out the options, it's maybe a little bit better, but honestly, it might be the worst move and it might turn out really poorly. But as a fan of the game, when you have the opportunity to make your mark like this, and it's not necessarily the worst move, I feel like maybe you should take it. Like, maybe it's better to take that shot than to just like try to sneak your way to the end, and maybe then you do get to win, you know, because of whatever. I don't know.
And it's also the other thing too to consider is, yes, Camp Comeback meant that Cliff didn't actually ever leave the house, but he was voted out and he has been blindsided. And I can only imagine that that has lit a fire under his ass to really play with no holds barred. Like, I know from my perspective, I'm not going to get a chance to ever play Big Brother now. But if I did, I know what it's like to go home. I don't care. I would be just playing to play. And I think that that's probably the perspective he has now as well.
Yes. Rob says in the chat, do you want to make the right move or do you want to be a legend?
And from Cliff's perspective, being a legend is probably the best he can hope for, and also might set him up the best to actually win yeah. going down the stretch.
The reason is, now we never got any confirmation from Cliff that he actually is lying. As far as we know, he was telling Christy the truth. He has not done any Cliff Notes since he became HOH. He's been bombarded by people coming into the HOH room. He has occasionally talk to the cameras, but he said nothing about whether or not he's lying to Christy here. He continues to have not said anything. He's been sleeping in a lot lately, so we haven't gotten any morning Cliff Notes. We still don't know. This could be a lot of getting your hopes up for nothing, and I really want to emphasize that. And honestly, if I had to guess, I would lean toward him not making this move. It's a really, really big shot. The reasons why people think he might, as I said, are the conversation he had with Nick and Bella and Sam earlier in the day, the conversation he had with Sam later on, and all of that stuff. So, and I think that, you know, me taking the guess here, it's mostly just that I don't want to expect it and then be disappointed. I'm just kind of right now I'm limiting my expectations. I'm going to say he's going to make the safer play, and that's actually not a bad move for him. And that's where I'm at right now. And if he makes the bigger play, then I'm going to be really, really, really excited.
Taryn, don't say that. We need to manifest things. The things you say come true. So we need to be manifesting this.
No, see, the things I say are the opposite. I said that Cliff was gone, and then I bought an Orwell to commemorate his stay in the house, and then he stayed. So I need to go the opposite way. Everyone else can manifest.
I don't think that that's how it works. I think that there was just a strange series of events. Who knew, though? Oh, and now, also, so like,
strange series of events when that happens. But when this one comes, it's manifesting.
Yes, exactly. The other thing too is, like, I haven't been on obviously since the competition on Thursday, but when they showed the competition, I was like, oh my god, it's a tactile hand puzzle. I was like, yeah, that's so funny. And then when he was so good at it, I was like, oh my god, they were right.
Christy was right.
I was like, did Christy manifest this because she was so worried about tactile hand puzzles?
Yeah.
So I was floored.
So obviously, if Cliff is planning on lying and putting up Christy, Tommy, or Holly, or whoever, there are still things to be concerned about. And those things are named Kat, because Kat is still working as a rat. And if word gets to Kat that this is going to happen, I do believe that she will give Christy the heads up and let her know that she needs to use the power to take Bella out of the game. And there are, you know, so that's why I said that conversation with Kat earlier was very important, because Cliff didn't give her a heads up about anything that he was thinking. And then she let him know that she was not on board with a Tommy nomination, which hopefully gave him the knowledge he needs to say, hey, I can't tell Kat this ahead of time because she doesn't want Tommy to go on the block. And so she might say something. And so this is a very, very delicate plan. And I'm not going to tell Kat. So hopefully he doesn't tell Kat. If he does, I think it's over. And she ruins one of the best moments in Big Brother history. And I'm going to be very, very upset with her.
Yeah, because truly, like, this would be a very, very big moment. Like, massive.
I'm going to say this right now. If Kat ruins this blindside moment, she knows what she did, and she is dead to me.
In this game,
forever. If she comes back and she plays again, she's still dead to me. There are no redemptions in this game. She is dead to me.
Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong.
Risk number two. Cliff tells Jess. I think Jess wouldn't tell Christy, probably, but I think she would tell Kat, who would tell Christy.
Yeah, and then Kat ruins the biggest move. Kat is, like, by far the biggest liability, so definitely a concern. The other thing, too, is, like, how I just want to talk about how excited everyone was when Christy came back to them with this plan, and they're like, oh my god, it's like being HOH without being HOH, and we get to play next week. Like, they all have the dollar signs in their eyes.
Yeah, they do. So that's that. Like I said, he might not even be doing it. If he is doing it, there are still dangers. There are still risks. And there's a lot of time. There's a whole day today and then a whole half day tomorrow before we get to the veto ceremony. So there's a lot of time for things to either screw up or change or whatever. But
you know what? Maybe they could play with the schedule a little bit. The first week, like, we had an eviction on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday. Like, have a veto ceremony on a Sunday. Why not?
This, honestly, it reminds me. And again, there's no confirmation yet, but if Cliff confirms to us today that he plans on stabbing Christy in the back, then I'm going to be brought right back to post funeral when we were just waiting forever for the veto ceremony to happen. Just like, oh my God, is something going to screw up? Is Gen City going to say something? Is Brittany going to find out? Like, what's going to happen? I'm going to be stressing.
Yeah, no, that anticipation was, I miss Big Brother 14 Feet so much. Mm-hmm.
Check out my interview with Brittany Haynes on The Taryn Show.
It was really good, guys. I actually listened to it yesterday.
Oh, there you go. There's some more stuff, too, where Cliff's daughter, who is on Twitter and a patron of Rob Has a Podcast.
What's up, Kelly?
Yes, Kelly Hogg has tweeted out that... she and her family did have a conversation with Cliff before he left, and they all agreed, swear on us all you want means nothing. Cliff is very much aware that he is allowed to swear on his family, and it does not mean anything. And he did say that swearing on his family means everything to him when he talked to Christy. So, I mean, he said that before, and he stayed true to his word because he's building that up. And he said in his bio preseason that he wants to, everything that he's done, he wants to get close to the power and gain their trust and make them think that he's a loyal guy and then backstab them toward the end of the game. And that's the thing that concerns me, that maybe he's thinking that this is too early to make this kind of big move and burn all of his social capital. And that might actually be the case, but I'm still hoping that he does it.
I have my hopes up that he's going to do it. I just think that there are enough logical reasons to make this move that I think he will. One thing that I'm very concerned about is, like, if he does this, he's going to have to live with Christy's reaction to it. And that's a barrier. Like, Christy's gonna be like, oh, he swore on his family and he told me everything and he's just so disgusting and I can't believe he did this. And Tommy, I would have used my power if I'd known. Like, I can't believe that he betrayed me like this. And it's gonna be like that for a week, at least.
What it's gonna be is Christy's gonna be like, he's Judas! He's Judas! You'll always be Judas in my book, Cliff!
Now... I don't, the comparisons are just not there.
You don't think she would yell that? That sounds like something she would yell to me.
That is definitely something that has been yelled, like, in my extended family as well. And Christy is as wild as some of my relatives. So
she made up. Yeah. She was like, when she retells this, she says, he swore on everything, on Texas, on his family. He had tears in his eyes. He swore on the Bible. Like, she made up a bunch of things that he didn't swear on.
Well, and it's also just like when she was talking to Cliff about Jackson, she's like, I was crying and Jackson was yelling at me. He's evil. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, you've been crying all the damn time, but, like, Jackson didn't, like, yell at you. He just wants to use the power.
If Cliff does this, get ready for... I mean, if you thought what they did to Nicole was bad, they're going to be so mad. But you know what? Cliff, he can handle it. He's willing to... He's gonna do fine. He knows. Dan is one of his favorite players. He's a fan of RHAP. He knows this is not a bad thing. He can handle it.
For Cliff, it will be water off a duck's back. What, have you never heard that before?
No. That sounds like something Jackson would say.
Yeah, just wait till something bad happens to Jackson. He's like, water off a duck's back.
All right, so that's as much speculation. Like I said, I'm not expecting this to happen. We still have to wait for confirmation from Cliff about what he actually wants to do, but there's definitely there's a lot that we can hope for here. So we get to Christy and Jack, she goes and she tells Jack about this conversation. She walks into the room and she says, Jack, I think I just pulled off the savviest move in Big Brother history. Oh my God.
She's like, am I the best Big Brother player of all time?
I just pulled off something so amazing. And it's again, you see the money signs in her eyes. She's completely blinded by her greed. And she thinks she can have it all. She thinks that she has managed to do something incredible, something amazing. And she is completely just willing to believe it wholeheartedly. And so she explains it. She, as I said, embellishes the promise. Every time she retells this conversation, she adds an additional layer of promise to the story. So at first it was just, he swore on his family. He said it, you know, he's good to his word. And then the next time she said, he swore on his family. He had tears in his eyes. He said he's good to his word. He swore on Texas. And then she tells it again. He swore on the Bible. He promised me with everything, tears in his eyes, swore on his family's life. Texas, his word as a Texas person, and everything in his life. He said he would give it up if he betrayed me. He said that he would self evict from the house if he went back on his word. It's he said that he would give me $500,000 if he went back on his word. It was I'm telling you, he's telling me the truth.
And just, I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but if something seems too good to be true, or is just lining up perfectly when it really shouldn't, it is too good to be true. Just, I don't know who needs to hear it, but it seems too good to be true. It is.
Yes. And so she explains it to Jack, and Jack is like, tremendous. Fantastic. She explains it to Tommy, and Tommy's a little more skeptical. He's like, but why? Why is he doing that? But the more she explains it, like, I think one of the reasons why she's embellishing is because she wants it to be true so bad that she is telling it in a way to persuade the other people to be on board with her. It's like, she wants it so bad, so she is lying about it so that other people won't ruin her fun. Right. Like, it's almost like if I wanted Cliff to be lying so bad. Right. If I was like, I just really, really want Cliff to be making this move and I don't want anybody to tell me to doubt it, then I'm going to say, but no, he told Nick, he promised Nick that he would lie. He promised. And that means he's definitely going to do it. And did you see his bio? It says exactly what he's going to do. So it's definitely happening, guys. It's absolutely happening. He swore on his family that he would do this. I'm telling you, it's happening. Don't even dare doubt it.
And this is when you're like, I just did a podcast and it was so good. And like, am I the best Big Brother podcaster of all time?
Am I the best? So grateful about how great I am at podcasting.
And that's the thing too, to remember, is Christy now thinks she has pulled the greatest move in Big Brother history. And so anything she can do to reinforce what she thinks is the plan, what she thinks she did, she's going to pull out and she's going to do that because she thinks she's the best.
Yeah. To reiterate this, her power is mostly useful this week and not nearly as much in future weeks. Saving her power doesn't mean much. Even if Cliff doesn't go along with this, this is not one of the best moves in history. This is Cliff making a move to save himself and trying to break up the alliance and letting her keep a worthless power. He even explained it to her in the conversation. I was like, no, Cliff, don't explain the logic. Because he was like, well, I mean, if you think about it, it's really effective right now, but the odds of it being effective in the next couple of weeks are not super great.
Shut up, Cliff.
It went straight over her head. She was just like, yeah, exactly. I want to keep it for myself. He's like, okay, sure.
Yeah. And so that's like nice reinforcement for Cliff to know, like, okay, yeah, like I can probably pull this. I can get away with this right now. Because yeah, it's like, and I know like you can make rationale for, oh, definitely she should use the power if she goes on the block next week, blah, blah, blah. From what we've seen, the chances of Christy going on the block next week are not super high, especially depending on who would win the competition. And so, and again, if the veto is getting used on her anyways, it doesn't matter who goes up in her place. She'll still be safe. As you said, like the numbers this week are what makes it so crucial. Like, this power definitely gets less powerful with time when you are in that big alliance.
Yes. So she tells Tommy. Tommy eventually is on board after sort of being skeptical. He also doesn't really want to let Cliff off the hook. He wants to still be targeting Cliff, but he's willing to say, you know what? Because she also adds, like, for 2 weeks, we keep him safe for 2 weeks. And so she explains it to Tommy. He's on board. She explains it to Jackson and the rest of them. They're on board. Jackson's like, oh, he doesn't target us for 2 weeks. That's great. I'm on board. And so everyone is happy with that. They'll target Sam. They'll target Nick, maybe even Jess in the next coming weeks. And then when the time comes, they'll just take out Cliff at, you know, eight or whatever. And so that's the plan. It's, you know, Nick, they're capable of bringing him in, and Tommy knows that, but they might not need to at this point. If Cliff is willing to be on board, then whatever. And so maybe they'll target Nick soon. They're definitely targeting Sam soon. And they also talk about wanting to bring in Kat as a seventh. You know, we let's make sure that we have her on board, because certainly, you know, they would have needed her vote this week. And I think they would all feel a lot more comfortable if she was officially a seventh. Which really, if you get brought in as the seventh, that should make you feel even less comfortable. But I think they know Kat, and they know that bringing her in as the seventh will actually make her feel more comfortable, because then she's officially part of the cool kids. And so they agree that they're going to do that as well.
Yeah, Kat does not care what her position is. She just wants to be with them.
Yes. So that happens. And then, of course, we get the moon landing.
Yeah, it's the 50th anniversary.
Yep.
The astronauts made Cliff proud. And then when all the other house guests were born, they were also proud of the moon landing.
I fully expect this to be on the episodes, but on the off chance that it's not, at the very least, you should check out some of the gifts of Cliff in his space suit and Orwell. And they've got a little American flag, and they do this fun little thing. It's very cute.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then Nicole also had like a little tinfoil costume going on.
Yes, they dressed up as aliens.
Because there were famously aliens at the moon landing. That's actually why they are at Area 51. That's why, you know what, gotta storm Area 51, because I can't stop us all.
Rob says in the chat, one small step for Cliff, one giant leap for Big Brother 21.
And he's not wrong.
Yes, so check it out. It's very, very adorable, and honestly makes what is maybe going to happen on Monday even better, that this guy that is just like goofing around in tinfoil is about to make one of the most cold-blooded moves in Big Brother history.
And that's what you love. It's like, what do they say? It's another Jacksonism. It's float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. That's Cliff.
Christy also talks to Tommy about all of Jackson's side deals and how she's done with him. She's very skeptical of Jackson. She really wants to start going after him soon. Tommy doesn't really get a chance to respond to this because they're interrupted by Jess, as it happens.
Jess ruins things.
She does.
What she does.
But Christy is going to talk to Kat and say, hey, we want to bring you in as a seventh. And also, we really want to target Jackson, Kat, because that's going to go well, Christy.
Well, and it's like, in theory, it should go well to be like, hey, Kat, we're going to target Jackson, the guy who, like, was hooking up with you and then dumped you to hook up with someone else in front of you all summer. Like, in theory, that should work. She should not want to be with him.
Yeah, but...
And, like, she says that she doesn't want to. She says, oh, I know I can't trust him because he said we can't, like, publicly be together or whatever. But, like, she'll take whatever she can get to be with the popular kids, to be in the big group.
Yeah, I fully expect Kat to let Holly know about what Christy is saying about Jackson. And in this case, I'm kind of glad for it because I think it will help.
It fans the flames.
Widen this gap. So yeah. She also lets Kat know about Cliff's deal. And this is one of the things that concerns me. If Cliff is planning on betraying Christy, now Kat knows about it. Kat is probably going to ask Cliff about it. And Christy wasn't supposed to tell anybody other than Jack. And so now the entirety of Six Shooters know, and Kat knows as well. Hopefully, if Kat goes to Cliff and asks him about it, he will realize that that meant that Christy felt close enough to Kat to tell her about the plan in the first place, and that therefore he should not explain any betrayals that might be coming and just go along with it. But still, I'm very worried.
If you read Cliff's bio, you can see that he knows.
Oh boy. I
have my hopes up. I must admit. I
do
up.
Too. I'm trying to keep them as low as possible because I genuinely feel like there's a very good chance that this doesn't happen. And I really don't want to be like super disappointed, but it's hard. It's hard because the possibility is there and it's so good.
I need it so badly. I need Cliff to take this shot. I need it.
Yeah.
And honestly, we deserve it after what we've been watching for the past month.
Doomtrap says, hey, Taryn, when are we getting our sis update? Well, I'm sorry. I know everybody wants to hear about sis. Actually, sis was being some classic sis, actually, where she came into the bedroom when they were talking about the Cliff plan. And Christy was explaining why Cliff is great and is willing to work with them. And they were all talking about how much they love Cliff. And Sis hears like a little bit of the explanation about like, okay, so Cliff said that he's willing to maybe put Bella on the block himself. And Sis's immediate reaction was, what a dumbass. He's the worst. Oh my God. I hate him. And they're like, no, this is good. We like this. And she's like, oh, wait, what? And they were like, no, he's like, he like wants to work with us. He feels like he made a mistake and he wants to be like, keep us safe and be good with us. And she was like, oh yeah, that's great. I love him. I love Cliff.
And then she went and sat on a couch and leaned for a while. And I forgot that she existed again.
She did talk to Nick some more. Continues to sort of like maintain that connection. Nick is really starting to, in his own mind, he's completely removed from this world right now. He's looking like it's either him going on the block or Bella potentially going on the block. And if Bella goes, then he's looking to kind of separate himself from that, maybe get his in with Sis back in play. And so she's working on that relationship. And I mean, honestly, like she continues to just, guys, she's going to be here for a while.
She's there.
Yeah.
At all times, she's there. Mm-hmm. And again, I continue having moments where I'm like, wait, who's that brunette? Like, that's not Holly. Oh, right. Sis exists. Like, I legitimately continue to be like, wait, who's that?
Yeah.
What? Like, I don't recognize this person.
All right. So that's what we have for you. Unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up, Kristen.
I did like earlier when Jackson was trying to get Christy to use the power so that he could use it. And he's like, I'll put Bella up. And then Christy's like crying about how, oh, what if we don't have the numbers? And Jackson's like, then I'll win HOH next week and I'll just put her up again. Put her up twice. Who cares? You're so reckless with Orwell. At least he's got a helmet on today.
He likes to fly. He does have a helmet. His helmet keeps him safe from banging his head on microphones.
Are you trying to do like some ASMR right now? You're going to crinkle the tinfoil into the microphone? And so on that note, I have nothing else to add today. I should have brought my tinfoil hat. I mean, I'm upset that I didn't.
Yeah.
I seriously was like, do I make one? And I was like, that's such a waste of tinfoil.
No, it's not. It's a perfect use of tinfoil.
Well, but the small amount for Orwell's head, sure. I've got a big old noggin here. Yeah, Cliff needed zero boxes. And
Cliff's was like,
I was like
5 feet tall.
And I'm like, I'm not kidding. Like, I genuinely was like, do I pour my cereal into like some Tupperware containers, take the boxes apart? Like, I was considering some arts and crafts and I was like, Kirsten, that's stupid. Don't do that.
All right. That's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. As I mentioned, the Taran Show with Brittany Haynes is out. You can listen to it, especially if you're feeling nostalgic for some Dan Gieseling on Big Brother 14. We talked a lot about Big Brother 14, and Brittany's part in it, and how she felt about her seasons of the show, and how that influenced her own life, and lots of other stuff. She's super, super fun to talk to and listen to. I could just like listen to her talk all day long. And so I had the wonderful opportunity to talk with her. So make sure you check that out.
It was really good. Like, Brittany's one of my all time faves. Like, I think I would probably be like, yeah, Brittany's my favorite Big Brother player of all time, possibly. So it was really great to hear from her. Good job, Taran.
She's definitely up there as one of my favorites of all time for sure. So you check that out. Check out my Twitch page, twitch.tv/Taran Armstrong. I was live for a good portion of this craziness yesterday, and we were having fun with it and hanging out and chatting about it. And then you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taran and Instagram at Taran_Armstrong. I promise I'm going to get that Orwell photo in and posted soon.
You're really building anticipation.
It's not that great. It's just, I just haven't had time to post. I just took a picture with me and Orwell.
Now, have you been able to get, like, does your cat like Orwell? Could you get a picture of him with Orwell?
My cat loves Orwell because no. Orwell has these little talons on the bottom. And I guess for anyone that does not, you know, realize this because they don't have an Orwell, they're very stiff. Like, you can hold Orwell, like, you can, like, move him back. Like, he can rock. Like, he's at a metal concert, like, headbang. He's got like stiff, like wired legs that run up into his body, and that's why he's able to stand up. And they're very like, they're not soft talons. They're like, they've got little points to them. And so my cat loves to just like rub his face right into his talons, and just like, oh yeah.
Just watch out for when he starts going for the eyes to try and rip them out. I have like a stuffed dinosaur, because that's the mascot for my university, and Steffi fully ate one of the eyes, and now it only has one eye. Well, didn't eat the eye, because she would have probably died, but like, she fully extracted it from the stuffed animal.
Yeah.
So just watch out, they're killers.
All right, thank you guys once again for joining us. Kirsten, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kirsten Said What. And yesterday, the week 2 recap for Love Island dropped on the reality TV wrap up feed.
Yeah, so Winston joined the cast.
Winston joined. Winston's fully in. And it's crazy when you don't have 24-hour live feeds. He's a lot more enjoyable to watch.
He's fulfilling the promise that we all saw on him preseason from Big Brother.
Did you watch the Friday episode?
No, I didn't.
Well, it was drama.
Oh boy.
And next week, a yacht full of singles is coming in to shake things up. So,
oh my.
Highly recommend getting back into Love Island. It is a breath of fresh air.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update everything that happens today on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. Hopefully, then we'll have an answer for you as to whether or not Cliff is going to be blindsiding Christy, or if he will be staying true to his word. And of course, tonight, we will be recapping the Sunday night episode of Big Brother 21, and we'll have a lot of fun with that as well. And tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll have our next roundtable of the season. Should be a lot of fun to do that and rate these players. I think there's going to be a lot of changes in these ratings, so should be a lot of fun to do that. Lots of fun in the sun.
Oh no, that's another Jacksonism.
No, that's a red dwarfism. All right, thank you guys for joining us. See you next time.
Bye.